Hey, mamas. I recently sat down with board-certified family law attorney Jamie Davis for a conversation that was music to my intuitive divorce ears. Not only is Jamie a highly skilled divorce attorney who's been practicing law for over 20 years, one of the core tenets of her approach is divorcing without destruction. It's so refreshing to hear from a seasoned professional who also appreciates a holistic approach. Seeing a divorce is much more than a negotiation on the division of assets. We spoke all things mitigating unnecessary suffering and navigating conflict with the least amount of disruption for you and your kids. We dove into everything from the steps a woman should take when staring down a divorce and those to avoid, how to prepare, how to stay out of court, the importance of a team, how to handle parental alienation, how to deal with high-conflict individuals, i.e. divorcing a narcissist, and the importance of compromise and shifting out of a winning mentality. I'm sure you'll glean a pearl or two from this heart-centered, intuitive, and strategic conversation. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Jamie. How you set the tone of your divorce process will impact the entire process. Hi there, mamas. Welcome to the Intuitive Divorce Podcast. I'm Kristen Noel, certified divorce coach and creator of the Best Self Intuitive Divorce, a game-changing program that transforms the experience and outcomes of divorce, one mother at a time. I call it Divorcing Differently. I'm here each week bringing you a quick message to support, inspire, and empower you to achieve the outcomes you want for yourself and your kids. So, let's dive into today's episode. Jamie Davis is a board-certified family law attorney, as well as a certified family financial mediator and certified parenting coordinator. She supports all areas of family law, including complex equitable distribution and child custody cases, child support, post-separation support, and alimony. She is the author of the book, A Year and a Day, and the tagline on her website reads, Divorce Without Destruction, which is music to my intuitive divorce ears and probably a great place to start. Bill, my co-founder of The Intuitive Divorce, and I are so glad to sit down with you today, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome. So let's just dive in. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say is that we are very much aligned with what also seems to be your approach, mitigating unnecessary suffering. And our coaching program was designed to support mothers navigating ups, downs, and all rounds of the divorce process so that they can save time, money, and heartache. And there's a lot of life that happens between court dates, meetings with attorneys, and filings. What do you think is the biggest mistake women make when first staring down a divorce? Or maybe better said, what should be their first steps with respect to the legal process?
Oh, that is a great question. So I think the biggest thing that folks should consider is having an actual plan in place before you ever even broach the topic of separation with your spouse. You know, it certainly doesn't have to be a concrete plan, of course, where you're at the very beginning stages. But once you say those words to your spouse, hey, look, I want to be separated, I want to be divorced, you can't take those back. And so it's better to do a little planning on the front end. Go ahead and have a consultation with a lawyer if you think that you might be getting separated. You don't necessarily need to retain the lawyer at that point, but at least get some information, know what you might be entitled to or what you can expect from the process. I also think it's really important at that stage to consider couples counseling. You know, if you're not really sure, you know, do I want to be separated? Do I want to try to make this work? That is a great time to explore couples counseling and see if that might be right for you and your spouse. And something else I can't stress enough is if you're not the spouse who has a handle on the family finances, try to get some information. You know, start gathering your financial documents, your credit card statements, bank statements, tax returns, all of those things that maybe you've not paid a lot of attention to during the marriage because maybe that wasn't your role. But once you say that you want to be separated, sometimes those documents can start to disappear or access to online portals, you know, the password might get changed or things like that. So do your homework and gather your information before you ever tell your spouse that you're thinking about separating.
You touched on so many good things there, because we always talk about clarity, just trying to get a little bit of clarity. It's not knowing like necessarily how to divorce, like the actual process. Like, that's why we're coming to you. That's where we're going to defer to the professionals. But it's like getting clear. Well, obviously, okay, I've run my course in this marriage and this is the path that I want to take. We, the in terms of the document gathering, we call that getting your ducks in a row. But also, you know, I love how you're bringing this notion of awareness, really giving yourself like the time to explore what your options are, because there are many, many different ways to approach a divorce.
Oh, absolutely. And again, once you utter those words to your spouse, you know, your spouse can take control of the timeline until they know you're on your own timeline and you can take as much or as little time as you need to get your ducks in a row, as you just mentioned. But once you tell them, they can take over that timeline and very much speed it up for you unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. Or the opposite, does really drag it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They don't want this, which is one of the things we are always working with our clients to do, is to assume a proactive role in the process, not a reactive role.
And also, like, sitting down with an attorney where you're really going to glean some sage advice, and then you really see, like, how does this resonate with me? How is this going to fit into how I want to approach this divorce? How's this going to work for my children? How's this going to work with my spouse? I know what his reaction is going to be, potentially. But like you said, I like getting the ducks in a row before we have the conversation, the talk, the announcement, because things can move very quickly and change very quickly at that point.
Well, and there can be some surprises. You know, sometimes we have women come in for a consultation and let's say they've been a stay-at-home mom and they've not worked outside the home in many, many years and don't really have an income of their own. But then they disclose to us that perhaps they had an indiscretion or a one-night stand or some sort of affair, maybe not long-term, might have literally been a night. But in North Carolina, if you're a dependent spouse and you commit adultery, you are barred from receiving alimony. And so that can be a big shock to someone who may be thinking that in addition to child support, they may have some spousal support coming in as well.
Are there other states that you know of that have that, you know, that construct as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, off the top of my head, I'm not sure about that. But I know here in North Carolina, our alimony laws can be punitive in that regard.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to jump into two things. One, just to respond to that, because that was really shocking to me. But in this process of really getting your ducks in a row and sort of, you know, having a consult with an attorney, the reason you want to do this is you want to know what the law is in your state. I had never even heard of that. And I'm going to jump ahead to one other question, which I was going to save till later. But it's like, as a lover of books, writing and all things literary, I can't leave off without mentioning going back to your book, A Year and a Day. Tell us about the title and the reason you birthed it into the world. And let's celebrate that for a moment.
Yeah. So in North Carolina, where I practice, folks have to be separated a year and a day before they are eligible to file for divorce. And it's during that year that they are typically trying to resolve the issues arising from their separation, you know, their property claims, their child custody issues, if there's any spousal support, child support. Most often it's during that year that you are working toward a separation agreement, or you're filing those claims with the court, because here your property division claim and any spousal support claim that you have has to be at least pending with the court when your divorce is final, or you lose the right to bring those claims. And so that year, in my opinion, is a very crucial time for folks to, back to getting our ducks in a row, to get those ducks in a row and get all of that resolved before the divorce goes through.
Can you get any temporary orders for custody, parental rights, child support, et cetera, during that year of separation, or nothing?
Yeah, you absolutely can. Yeah. If you need to request temporary relief, our courts will entertain claims for temporary child custody, temporary child support, and also post-separation support, which is temporary alimony.
Have you noticed that the courts are they backlogged in North Carolina, where they seem to be all over? We're seeing a lot of clients are dealing with that.
Yeah, I mean, our court calendars are very, very full. And so we encourage folks, to the extent they are able, to get a lot of these issues resolved out of court. It's probably going to be a quicker, more efficient result for you. But you know, sometimes cases just don't settle, and you're forced to have a court hearing. And so there can be a delay in that regard.
So I'm going to just put you in the hot seat for a second and ask you a question that just came up as I'm listening to you. It's kind of a question I'm going to ask you both sides of the equation. It's like, what should a mother look for when choosing a divorce? And then the flip side of that is, in sitting behind the desk where you are, do you turn clients down? Is there a reason where you say, like, this is not a client I'm going to take on, or this is not a case I'm going to take on?
Yeah, those are two very great questions. So I think it is critical, when you are going through a separation and divorce, that you trust your lawyer just like you trust your doctor. And lawyers have different practice styles, and we all handle things a little bit differently. And it's important that your goals align with the style of your attorney. And so if you know that there is a particular style or personality that is not going to work for you, maybe have another consultation with someone else until you find somebody that clicks and who you think is going to really advocate for you and for your children and you know, the best interest of your family. Likewise, yeah, I mean, if I have a consultation with a client and I really don't think that my style is going to go very well with what they're trying to pursue, for example, if they tell me that they want to pursue something that I know a judge simply cannot do for them because the law won't allow it, I would be wasting their money to fight for that. And I will be very honest with them, and I will tell them, hey, look, I don't think that we're a good fit, because even if I have my very best day in court for you, I can't get you what it is that you're asking for.
Which is wonderful. And I also think, I mean, well, obviously you have a lot of integrity. I also just imagine that if someone walked into your office and was like, Jamie, I want to take them to the cleaners. It's like, that's probably not the client for you.
Yeah, I mean, we have lots of conversations about making good business decisions when it comes especially to the money claims in a divorce, the property division, the support. It doesn't make sense to spend more money than you stand to gain. And so we always encourage folks to do that cost benefit. You know, that's not to say that we don't go to court, because we do. And sometimes your client can be the most reasonable person on the planet, but the other side is very high conflict. Maybe they have an untreated mental health issue or something, and you find yourself in a courtroom. And part of what we do in counseling our clients is to discuss with them when you get to the point where you need to take a next step. When you have, I'm going to say, been nice long enough, but really it's about imposing deadlines for yourself, right? Like, how long are you going to give the other side to comply with the deadline to produce documents before you are like, all right, I really need to file a lawsuit so I can get the court's assistance in getting these documents from my spouse? Yeah,
One
boundaries.
frustration that we wind up with the moms that we work with is that their exes, soon to be exes, simply are unwilling to comply with, what has been requested in terms of producing documentation punctually, completely. What can the mother do, or the one party do in that case, to try and compel the other side to play ball?
Yeah, so if there is a lawsuit already pending, at least here in North Carolina, there are a couple of ways that you can handle that. Lawyers have subpoena power once there's a lawsuit, and so we can issue subpoenas directly to financial institutions to request those statements and documents. Otherwise, if discovery has been served and we've made formal requests for documents and they still don't comply, then we can file what's called a motion to compel and ask the court to make them to produce the documents.
I would love to move into now parental alienation, because this is a huge issue for the mamas in our program who are trying to divorce differently, to be heart-centered, intuitive, and still very much strategic so that they can achieve their goals that they desire. And still, sometimes their exes just can't keep the kids out of the conflict and will go to no ends to involve their children in a very emotionally destructive tug of war. What can a mother do that is trying to keep her side of the street clean, protect her kids, and not badmouth her ex? What do you do when the other parent does just the opposite? Like, is there any relief that they can seek from the court?
Oh, that can be such a tough situation. I mean, it is so tempting to want to set the record straight every single time that your ex is bad-mouthing you, especially to the children. But I would say, unless you are correcting a factual matter, you know, maybe, I don't know, dad said that you didn't sign them up for an extracurricular activity, but you did. You know, I think it's fine to be like, honey, I did sign you up for soccer, you know, dad's mistaken or whatever the thing is. But you really want to avoid getting down in the mud and, you know, slinging it right back to your co-parent. It's always best to leave the children out of the adult conflict and the adult issues to the extent that you can. Most custody orders and custody agreements that I have seen have what we call non-disparagement provisions. And what those are is they are provisions that say, like, neither parent shall disparage the other parent in front of the child or allow a third party to do so within earshot of the child. Depending upon whether you have an agreement or a court order, you can seek the court's assistance in enforcing that provision. It's important that you talk to your attorney about that and the best method to get the person to comply. But judges don't like it when parents are talking negatively about the other parent to the children. It puts the children in a really bad position. You know, at the end of the day, they're half each of the parents. And so when you are bad mouthing one of their parents, you know, they can internalize that as if you were actually saying something negative about them.
It can be, though, a very difficult thing to enforce, right? I mean, there's a lot of gray, a lot of nuance and innuendo. So it seems like something that's really well-intended in the verbiage, but just almost impossible to really put teeth into.
No, you're absolutely right. It can be very difficult because most of the time, the evidence is something the child has said to you, which is not going to be admissible in court. But if it's especially egregious, something that we have seen help is get the kids in some counseling. Then you have a witness who can come to court and testify. We certainly don't like to call the children's treating therapist as a witness because we don't want to interfere with their therapeutic relationship with the therapist. But, you know, if you need someone who can speak to the children and talk about things that the children are expressing, that is one way to do it.
And I was just thinking as you were saying that, I mean, the irony of that is like you could be trying to protect your kids, but in order to try and enforce this, you're going to have to be dragging them into it. And it's actually making it worse. It's compounding a situation that's already bad. You know, so we're always working with like, what can we control? What can we do? I mean, we can keep our side of the street clean and at least be the counterbalance to that bad behavior. But like you said, the way you started your response was like, I mean, that's really all we can do. And that's the best thing we can do is just sort of like not get too into it with them.
Yeah, I think it's about, again, picking your battles and whether or not something rises to the level that you really need to do something about it. You know, I mean, are they things that you on your own can correct and just make sure that you're being the best parent that you can absolutely be to your child? Or is it something that's gone to, you know, a different level beyond that where you really do need for it to stop because it's harmful to the children?
I'd like to add something in there that's come up with our clients about guardian ad litems, because in our experience, guardian ad litems, I mean, ostensibly they're there for the benefit of the kids, but sometimes they are biased, we've experienced. If you are going through divorce, you feel that the guardian ad litem is unfairly, unjustly biased, what kind of recourse do you have?
That can be really tough because the courts put a lot of stock in what the guardian ad litem has to say because they're in the unique position of getting to talk to everybody and even the children and, you know, going to the parents' homes if they need to. I will tell you that practically speaking, at least where I practice, it is the rare case where a guardian ad litem is appointed in just I'm going to call it a regular old custody case. And so we don't deal with that too often. You know, more often than not, if folks are really in a disagreement about what the best custody schedule for the kids should be, one option is they could have a custody evaluation. I mean, there are pros and cons to that as well. Just like everything else, it's, you know, you kind of choose your own adventure. It has a cost associated with it. It can take a long time. You may not like the result once you have the evaluation done. And so there's risk associated with that as well. But something that has really helped here, in my opinion, is that most family lawyers that I know and practice with let their clients know, hey, look, our judges lean toward 50-50 custody unless there is some very compelling reason why 50-50 is not in the best interest of the child. You know, maybe a parent has a substance abuse issue that's impairing their ability to care for the kids or something like that. And so for one parent to get primary custody, it's a pretty big hurdle for them. And I think that helps keep a lot of these types of cases out of court and folks are, you know, reaching agreements. We do have parenting coordinators. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that, where if mom and dad can't agree on a major decision affecting the welfare of the kids, the parenting coordinator can be appointed to kind of be the tiebreaker and make those decisions for those folks. And that can be a big help too, just in keeping cases out of the courtroom when they involve children, if we can.
Do you sense that 50-50 bias for custody is a shift recently, like in the last decade or so, or has that been pretty longstanding, at least in North Carolina?
I would say it has been a more recent trend, like you mentioned, last decade or so. I can't pinpoint exactly when, but I do know when I first started practicing, that was 23 years ago now, there were more cases where one parent or the other was seeking primary custody and actually getting primary custody.
Yeah, that's sort of what I've observed too. The bias that tended to favor the mother, all things being equal.
So I would love to hear your thoughts on high conflict individuals, i.e. when dealing with a narcissist, a control freak, or an angry ex who just wants revenge. What do you advise the women you work with when they find themselves in this situation? And are there certain things that they can do to protect themselves and avoid a runaway train?
Oh, high conflict folks. Those are always fun. I will say those are the cases that are more likely to end up in court, sadly. Yeah. But when you are dealing with a narcissist or just a high conflict individual on the other side, I have found that it is best to not engage with them to the extent that you can avoid it. That doesn't mean you don't respond, because you absolutely do need to respond, especially if they are putting in writing things that are just factually inaccurate. It's important to set the record straight, in my opinion, but to limit your response and not get sucked into the name calling, the, you know, criticizing the other person's parenting, all of those things. Those types of comments don't warrant a response. I advise a lot of my clients to check out Bill Eddy's book, Biff for Co-Parenting, so that they can communicate with their co-parent in a more productive manner. You know, you want to keep your responses brief, you want to keep them informative, you want to keep them friendly, and you want to keep them firm. And that's all you need to do. And you don't need to respond to the typically very long messages that you're going to get from the narcissist or high conflict individual. You just really need to keep it to a bare minimum, in my opinion.
The rants. We want to avoid the rant. We do a lot of boundary work in our program, which is really helpful. It's sort of like, okay, we're going to communicate on behalf of the children. And that's all we're going to talk about. We're not going to like dive back into why we landed here. Let's just talk about the kids and getting them to soccer practice. Let's talk about the exchange. Let's talk about the holidays. Let's talk about, nope, we're not going to talk about like, so it's like this learning to stretch a new muscle where you really, you can still be, you know, you can consciously communicate. We encourage collaboration, collaborative language. So yes, there's this like being nice for the benefit of the kids. It's sort of like an invitation. You know, I always use language like, I know we both want the best for our children, as opposed to pointing fingers about all the things you've done wrong. You know, we mention a lot in the program also that there's so much life that goes on between court dates, between appointments with lawyers, between filings. And I know this is a core tenet of your belief as well, but like self-care, you know, getting coaching, getting therapy, taking care of yourself, why this is so important.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Divorce is one of the most stressful life events that a person is going to go through. And I'm just a lawyer. I'm not a therapist. You know, I'm not trained to help in that regard. Of course, we counsel our clients, but I need my clients to be mentally and emotionally healthy so that I can help them make the best decisions for their future. And I encourage all of my clients who come in to have a therapist if they don't. That's usually one of the questions that I ask during the consultation. Hey, do you have a therapist? If not, let's find you one because you're going to need it. It's important because then, you know, there are just decisions I can't make for my client. I can't tell them whether or not to accept a settlement proposal. I can't tell them what custody schedule is going to be best for their particular children. You know, I need them to be in a healthy place where they can make those really good decisions. And also, you know, there is a bright side to divorce. I know a lot of people don't see it that way, but you get a second chance. You know, you get a do-over, whatever that looks like for you. It may not be with someone else. You may decide that you want to be single, but you get that chance to do that. And so you just want to make sure that you are setting yourself up for success in that next phase of your life.
Mm-hmm. So well said. I mean, we often say, you know, I mean, endings are beginnings. And we work with mothers, but mothers lose themselves along the way in careers, in motherhood, in marriages. And they get so used to like putting their needs at the bottom of the laundry basket. And that only goes on for so long. And suddenly they find themselves in a divorce. But it's this opportunity to sort of no longer deny the pieces and parts of themselves that have been shoved aside, you know, to see what needs to be seen and hear what needs to be heard and feel what needs to be felt. And the biggest part of our program is that's so monumental for us and just really like a slice of grace is when we see women healing and coming back to themselves. You know, and it's also,
what you said is that ultimately the best results are going to happen if you have a team. And I know a lot of women that we work with are a little overwhelmed. Well, they're very overwhelmed at the beginning of the process and don't even realize that, that they may need a financial expert and an attorney and a therapist and or coach or child psychologist or forensic accountant or who knows what is going to happen. But it's really important to assemble a team.
And to not, you know, this like with this self-care piece, it's like it's not an afterthought. Because how you get through your divorce is how you're going to make informed decisions and how you're going to really build your future.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I am a huge advocate of the team approach and make sure that you have assembled a team to help you. And I think one of the critical members of that team is the friend that you can talk to, that you can lean on, that you can leave your kids with if you've got to go meet with your lawyer. You know, you certainly don't want to find somebody who just wants to, you know, badmouth your ex with you. That's not helpful. But if you have somebody who will listen to you and help you, I think that is a critical member of that team as well.
I recently served on a task force in my local town, which was tackling a contentious issue, which is like a great metaphor for divorce. And I think the best advice I received was from someone who told our group initially that the sign of a successful outcome is when no one walks away happy. I mean, you know, in a task force kind of arrangement. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it essentially means that everyone compromised. And one of the core tenets of your advice to clients is compromise. In fact, you have a framework that's designed to avoid, and I'll read, impulsive decisions, reach amicable outcomes in divorce, and reduce the impact on your life. Can you tell us more about that and how you advise your clients to navigate conflict?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have talked about two of the steps already. One of those is how you set the tone for your divorce is really going to impact the process. So you want to be mindful of how you do that. And that's where we talk about having the plan. The next point that we've talked about is assembling your team. You're right. You absolutely want to have your lawyer, your therapist, your financial advisor, maybe some appraisers, maybe a child psychologist, whoever the members are on the team. You want to have that team together to support you. The third point, which I believe goes to what you were just speaking about, is be clear on what is most important to you and be willing to let go of the rest. Mm-hmm. There is no reason to fight for something that a court can't do for you anyway. Personal property. It's one of those things where, for whatever reason, folks really get bogged down on living room sofas and wedding china. And in one case, and I'm not kidding, a vacuum cleaner. And I actually offered to buy my client a new vacuum cleaner so that we could get it settled. It is a waste of your resources, folks. Don't fight over that stuff. Those are things that if you can replace it and you have the funds to replace it, let it go. Focus on what's important. Fourth point, and I can't stress this one enough, if you stay focused on what's in the best interest of your child, it will serve you well, and it will go a long way to ensuring that you have a more amicable divorce situation. We've talked about a lot of those points already too. You know, take the high road. Don't involve your child in the conflict. Try to co-parent. I know it can be really hard to co-parent with somebody that you don't trust or even really like that much anymore, but for your kids, you got to try to do it. And if you can do it in an amicable way, your child is going to benefit all that much more, in my opinion. And finally, the fifth step of the framework, and we've touched on this one as well, it's you got to prioritize your self-care. Whatever it is that makes you feel good and reduces stress for you, in addition to having a counselor to talk to, whether it's going for a walk or going to the gym or taking a painting class or whatever it is that you do to relax, you got to really lean into your self-care. My one word of caution, don't resort to self-medication, especially if you are involved in a custody case. You certainly don't want to be leaning on drugs or alcohol as your self-care because that could come back to bite you.
Good advice, Jamie. We need more attorneys like you. This is like music to my ears. You're speaking our language. These are the core tenets that we completely guide mamas through. And people don't realize how it's all interconnected. And a divorce is so overwhelming. We always say it throws like a net across the entirety of your life. No one will say, I want to waste my time. I want to waste my money. I'm going to fight endlessly. And yet they do, because one of these elements gets neglected. Because if you're worn out and you're frazzled and you're not taking care of yourself and you're trying to make these tough decisions, you're probably like not showing up at work or not showing up for your kids or just not feeling really good. You know, like you, unfortunately, you can't avoid any of these issues, you know, because it all works together. It all informs the other.
And I think, unfortunately, sometimes it turns into a game and folks are trying to win. And I don't think that it is on purpose, but I think that it's, you know, they feel like they are right and they want to beat their spouse and win this game. And I always try to reframe it and say, look, a win is you're going to have 50% of your property and you're going to have 50% of the time with your child. And so really, there is no win here. It's not about winning. Mainly for custody cases, it's about finding what's in the best interest of your child. And so if you can get out of that winning mentality, and like you mentioned earlier, and I say that to my clients too, if you're a little unhappy and he's a little unhappy, it's probably the right result. We say that before mediations all the time, just to, you know, encourage compromise, that you're not going to get everything that you want. You need to focus on your, I don't know, big three in most cases. You know, what are the three things that are not negotiable for you? You know, do you want the house? Do you want a certain custody schedule? Pick the big things and stick with those and let the rest go.
There's a price to pay for fighting.
Yeah.
And one last question I have for you, just I was thinking about it, like, I'm sure also relationships between attorneys is really important as well. I'm sure there are attorneys you probably really like to see clients working with so that you know you can work together to get your clients to resolution.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will say at least the Wake County Bar where I work, many of us are very collegial. And if you know that you have another reasonable, like-minded attorney on the other side, you can be confident that both of you are guiding the clients to the best result. And, you know, we all advocate for our particular clients, of course, that's our job, but we can do so in a manner that is more efficient, which usually translates into being less expensive, hopefully quicker, and to still get a really good outcome for the client.
That's a distinction I love that you brought into this. Advocating for your client is also getting them over the finish line. You know what the likely outcomes will be, but advocating is not necessarily me fighting for every single thing you want. Me advocating for you is using my professional expertise here, getting you through this in the best way possible. We need more of you, Jamie.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'll just clone myself, okay?
No, but I mean that wholeheartedly. This is incredible to know that there are attorneys out there that are not just doing their job in the law, but that also understand and see the interconnectedness of we're dealing with lives and families and feelings and futures. And, you know, it's just beautiful to see the work that you're doing in the world. And I just really appreciate you coming here today and having this conversation with us. We've been looking forward to sitting down with you. So thank you very much.
And thank you again for the opportunity.
Yeah, of course. How best for people to reach out to you, learn more about you?
Yeah. So lots of different ways. My podcast, A Year in a Day, Divorce Without Destruction, is available on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. A Year in a Day, the book, is available on Amazon. If you want to check out my website, it is divorceistough.com. And those are probably the best ways to reach me.
Fantastic.
Good URL, divorceistough.com.
Yeah. And the podcast is great also. And like we were speaking before we actually started this interview, there was an interview that both Bill and I had listened to of you speaking with a judge, and I felt it was really informative, and I've passed it along to clients, and I know we'll be passing more along because you're doing great work in the world.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love what I do. It's all I've ever done ever since I started practicing law, and I just want to help if I can.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, but more importantly, for making this time for yourself. If you're a professional, independent mother facing off with divorce, struggling with your emotions, worried about your kids and your future, and want a better way to navigate it all, I've got two ways to completely change the trajectory of your divorce and your life starting today. The first is our free divorce workshop. In this training, you'll learn the three steps to get off the emotional roller coaster and take control of your divorce so you can save time, money, and heartache for you and your family. Simply go to intuitivedivorce.com/workshop. And the second way is to book a free strategy call with our team, where we'll dive into your situation, your struggles, what you really want, and outline a path to get you there. For a short video and the booking link, go to intuitivedivorce.com/call. Check it out, and I'll see you inside. Now I have a favor to ask you, Mama. If you enjoyed this conversation and were inspired in your own divorce, please subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss future juicy talks. And I'd be so grateful if you'd leave a review so together we can help other mamas walking in the same shoes.